Okay, topic for today is salvation. Actually, there's going to be five separate sections on themes in Scripture, on truths, the realities of Scripture. I'm the first one that's doing salvation, which I mentioned to a couple of people, is actually the entirety of Scripture all points to getting saved and being a portion of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also heard that there'll be some people in the room that might be tested on a few things during this message. So anyways, so this is the first of five. Well, salvation, we all know the word, but like the other themes of for the next 5 weeks, or maybe 6 weeks, I think Andy is going to be here also, Andy Hilton, is the fact of, well, what does it mean, right? What is it that we have in this salvation? What does it mean to us? Is it just a word? Do you think is there any depth to it? Is there anything that has underpinnings in the purposes of God? And we know that the answer to that is yes. And that what I want to give you a clear, maybe a very simple phrase is that it's everything that God has for us in Christ. So we're going to go over now everything that God has for us in Christ Jesus. That being said, you know, to understand it, there's really two things that go with the realities of salvation. And the two things are that it's very simple to receive. Salvation is that free gift, the simplicity of the gospel. What do I have to do? How do I prepare? What do I have to be? Where do I have to go? Who do I need to talk to? All these things that the world or the flesh wants to try to pull up and be a part of, go away. So there's simplicity, but there's also some complexity. So to understand and appreciate the meaning of this glorious gospel of the blessed, happy God. Do you know we have a happy God? We have a joyous God. We don't have a God who sits in the heavenlies or stands in the heavenly and paces and wonders and worries about whether his plan of salvation is going to be executed correctly. No, we don't have that. But to understand salvation, we need to look at the words that are connected to our salvation. The words that are connected to our salvation. Now, I would by no means want this time that we're going to share together to be a dictionary review. So all the words that we're going to go through, sure, we're going to look at some of the meanings to understand what salvation truly means. But at the application, God is going to take these words and he wants to massage them into our hearts. And with the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, to take these things and to be doer of these concepts. I think there's that song, Where Do You Start? Well, you always start at the beginning, right? Let's start at the beginning. Salvation is found in a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love this phrase. In fact, anybody who actually wants to do a verse, the second half of this verse is something I'm sure that we all know. In fact, we could sing this. In fact, many of you are going to sing this while I say it to you. I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And those two words, know and believe, woven together when it comes to the meaning of salvation are so important. And I think if you disconnect knowing and believing from each other, you can take away to a certain extent the force and the power of what salvation is. I can know something. I can know somebody. Oh, I know them. I've heard of them before. I know who they are. I know what they stand for. We can say that. And we can also say, well, hey, I believe Jesus. Jesus was a great man. He was a good man, has a lot to offer, many, many wise things. But if those two words stand alone, it takes a portion of our salvation, it lowers it. For I know whom I have believed. To know and believe, that innocent acceptance of the simplicity of salvation, coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, believing but then allowing through the power of the Holy Spirit to know how he works in us, to allow him to partake in the events and the circumstances and the thoughts and the problems that we have, to know that he effectively works. Our brother mentioned it. He touches a heart. He touches a heart of stone. And he fleshens it out. He takes those things which we are burdened by. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it might be. And he can obliterate that if we allow him to believe and to know. And then, as Paul says here, and then I am persuaded that he is totally capable, he is totally able to keep. What are we giving him? Well, it's our very souls. Don't fear the person that can take your life. Fear the person that can take life and soul. We have committed our souls to him. Unto him against that day. What's that day? John Kinlaw comes up every time. There's 2 days on your calendar. Today and that day. That day. That day when he translates us into the very power and the presence of his glory. So we're going to do a few things. Talking to a brother, actually Mark. He mentioned two words to me the other day, which have kind of stuck. Flexion and extension. We like to flex our muscles. This is what I got. Here's the guns. This is what I got. All right. But it's all important to extend. We need to stretch from a spiritual standpoint. We need to be stretched. What are the things that we need to take in? What do we need to build up? And I hope that most of this today is an extension and not just simply a flexion, right? Not a point in time where we want to stay, but we want to improve. Jesus Christ, again, we're talking about the person of salvation, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. Of course, the name is the embodiment of the person and all the work that he has done under heaven, among men, whereby we must be saved. The simplicity of the gospel. It's about a person. About the Lord Jesus Christ. Has many interconnected teachings as we go through the prologue here, or the preface of the message today. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Sometimes people would say there's a lot of differences in the way people look at foreknowledge and a lot of ways that people look at predestinate. But we're going to take a look at that. For God did foreknow and God did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son. That's very important. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And this thing doesn't. Just close your eyes for a minute. Let's just go through this passage here. Very powerful passage in Ephesians. I'll paraphrase while we go through it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed who? Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Some spiritual blessings? No, all spiritual blessings. In heavenly places, that's where? In Christ. In whom? In the very Son of God. According He hath chosen who? Us. In him. When? Before the very foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Things that we will never be able to achieve. Given anything that we do, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame. He's predestinated us, or he's placed us, son and daughter, placed us into the adoption. Now he starts to talk about family. You're my family. You're my family. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It's always in Christ. It's always in Christ. According to the good pleasure of his will. His will is good. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. Nothing we could have done where we would find any acceptability in our own strength. We are now made accepted in the beloved, that's in Christ, in whom we have redemption. How? There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. It's through his blood, Jesus Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Marvelous, wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation has many interconnected themes. And there's a reason for them. The first reason is that they are to meet some of the requirements of the law. He is the judge. He has every right to judge sin, but he's also the justifier of our salvation. It's to correct deficiencies in man, accepted in the beloved. That's why we're always seen through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from God's standpoint. To provide new resources for life. We're adopted. We with all of the blessings, all of the spiritual blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. He's given us the full armor of God so that we can withstand the fiery darts of the devil. He provides new resources and ultimately to manifest his glory. And what's the glory of heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to gaze on anything else. Just the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, manifesting him. It's the Father always pointing to the Son saying, have you seen what my Son has done lately? Have you seen what my Son has done for you lately? He's altogether lovely. Salvation. There can be some stumbling blocks, though. We can get confused easily. We may come with some preconceived ideas, some notions, predestinate, foreknowledge, election, the adoption. Instead of allowing the word to speak, we want to interject our own definitions. We may want to even blur definitions, confusing these truths as if the words were interchangeable. Yeah, that foredestination and the pre-knowledge, and that's all kind of the same anyways. He wants us to know that there are some specific attributes and meanings of the attributes of our salvation so that we have a clear understanding of what is being said to us. Seeking to understand with a finite mind that which is infinite. There's things that we're not going to understand. There's things that are going to take all eternity for us to even begin to grasp. And I want to say this as respectfully as possible. I think there are some people who always want to say there's more to the gospel than what I've heard, what I've read, what the Holy Spirit is giving me. I want to be able to take the elect one step further. I have a further understanding of this infinite thing. And I want to try to whittle it down into have put some borders around it so I can mentally say, this is what that really means. Again, we need to allow the word. We need to allow the word to define the words so that our understanding is consistent with the Bible. Okay, those are the prologue. I'm not an expert in salvation. I'm not an expert in salvation. I'm not an expert in all of the attributes. But praise God that there are people that are very knowledgeable in this. Has anybody gone to uplook.org before? Have you ever been there before? Uplook.org. It's a wonderful resource. In fact, our brother that we know very well, J.B. Nicholson, is heavily involved in that. There is a wonderful summer Bible study series that was done back in the olden days, 2018, where there was 13 weeks of all of the attributes and the salvation words and everything that compromises that. And so here we go. There's four major sections. And in each section, there's four themes. So that's 16 themes. I figure 15 minutes a theme. We're out of here in like two and a half hours. We're just going to touch upon that. But I'll send the link out to this. I would strongly recommend that you take a look at this. So the four sections are God's eternal plan, the pre-work, the work that was done before the foundations of the world. There's this thing called sanctification. There's this thing called salvation. And how do we, in our time and space, how do we step into that eternal work? And then there's also God's working at the sinner's conversion, that instantaneous transaction that takes place once that we have turned to God, received him as Savior, and now he baptizes into us these attributes. And then the blessings that are experienced at conversion. So let's start with God's eternal plan. He did have a plan. He's not worried about his plan. We're going to skip over foreknowledge for a second. Predestination, it's the act of God that's based on his foreknowledge. His goal is the adoption. He makes it certain for the believer. He makes it certain for the believer. We look at predestination as, again, son or daughter placing. And if you could take it from the standpoint that we're not worried about where we're going to be. We're not worried about the location when it comes to predestination. In fact, we're not worried about anything. But it's like that verse that we just read in the prior slides. In his foreknowledge, he has predestined us to bear the image of the beloved. We're going to be like him. We're not going to be him. We're going to be like him. We'll be able to see him face to face. We are predestined to be in the image of God. And in part of our men's meeting, that's what we've really been focusing on, is we are image bearers today. Yes, when we see him face to face, when our salvation is complete, that's a whole other thing. But we are to be his image bearers today. Predestination is son placing, daughter placing as an adopted one. Election, another one that we could spend a lot of time on. But let's look at it this way. It's God is blessing mankind. He's always blessing. He's always blessing. But he sets aside what's called all firsts. The law. Do you remember in Old Testament times there was requirements? You had to, and then I will. You do, I will. He sets the nation of Israel aside. Not that he doesn't love them, but he enters into this all-encompassing umbrella of whosoever will. We have no claim at all to anything of God. You need to do this for me because you created me. So he enters the space of whosoever will can come to him without any legal claim, and that plan of salvation may be based totally on his grace. It's a free gift. Nothing we have to do. And how much easier that makes it for us. Adoption, placing us into his family, that we may enjoy the blessings now, and we're awaiting for that great and glorious day when we will see him face to face, adopted as children with all the rights and privileges of children as in sonship, in relation. Spend a little bit of time in foreknowledge. It's that aspect of his nature that gave him the ability to design a plan of salvation. And the Greek is prognosis. We know what prognosis is. We understand that from the standpoint of a doctor. Doctor has been educated. The doctor has experienced and has understanding in how maybe a certain disease or a certain infliction is going to manifest itself, and then those things that have to take place in order for that to be remedied. We know what prognosis is. Well, God, in his infinite wisdom and sitting above time, knows all the facts that are at hand, everything. What a wonderful comfort that is. He knows that Satan was going to fall. He knows that we were going to join Satan as an accomplice in sin. He knew of Israel's failure and the rejection of Messiah. It's all written out in Acts. Him you crucified, and in the foreknowledge of God, he knew what was going on, totally in control of the situation. He knew beforehand our own personal failures, and yet he loves us so much. Knows all of our shortcomings. How do you think we're going to be greeted in heaven? Once we pass that spance, how are we going to be greeted? He's going to welcome us with open arms. I've loved you since before the foundation of the earth. There's nothing that you ever did in your own strength that I didn't overcome. I like this. He's overruled our stupidity. We are stiff-necked sheep. He's overruled our stupidity. And he's accomplished things in spite of ourselves. Foreknowledge. Jabe Nicholson said, this is choice was made before they had done good or evil. And so anything they might do subsequently could not change his plan. How a believer enters into salvation, the second region. He's got this wonderful plan with foreknowledge, predestined, adoption, all of these good things now are set to be set in motion, and we just need to step into it. Repentance, that change of mind, turning towards God. He doesn't drag us from looking at sin. We turn towards God in faith. He's not slack concerning his promise. That came up at the breaking of bread. He's not slack. He wants all to come. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that they all should come to repentance. Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's an attribute of that stepping in to his salvation. He gives us faith as a mustard seed. Wants it to grow. We work out our salvation. It produces a partial acknowledgement. Is there things that we want to keep in the closet? No. In faith, we step fully in, acknowledging. It's as if we're in the courtroom, right? He's the judge. We're on the other side of the bar. We move to his side of the bar and agree. Yes, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I have faith in the work and workings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that results in what? Personal surrender. Surrender some of the things? No, we surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. And it changes and it produces a conduct that glorifies and manifests the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. That would be a good thing for 2021, right? Walking by faith and not, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that every day. I'm going to do that. Regeneration. Oh, we're not just made over. We're that new creation. Born anew. Imparting that instantaneous divine life and transporting us into the realm of his wonderful and glorious light. Not by works are we saved, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this wonderful salvation that we can step into. And he's supplied it all. Let's talk a little bit about grace. There's three attributes. Many ways we can look at grace. Please, this is not the only way. It is one way to kind of break it down. Grace moves towards us. My Father works and I work unceasingly. His grace is always there. It is the supply line. It's, he moves towards us. He gives to us. And then it's how we conduct or we receive his grace and respond to his love. What's the condition of God's heart? He's fiercely loyal. He's unconditionally loving. Those are the genesis of the salvation that we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He moves towards us. If indeed you have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. He is gracious. Wonderfully gracious. And the practicality of that graciousness is that he extends to us his merciful kindness. Beloved, I would ask that, would you ever go back in time when you've said, you know what, that was the Lord's working? He even answered something before I even knew what the question was. There may be times when he tarries. He can do that which is exceedingly abundantly above whatever we can ask or think. Those aren't just words. Those are his words. And it's fine if we even say that back to him, right, in our prayers. And we benefit from that. It's that unmerited gift from the gracious one, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Lest anyone should boast. What a way. It takes us out of the equation and allows all of the burden to be placed on him. Let's move into the third realm, God's work at a sinner's conversion, the instantaneous themes and attributes of salvation. What does it mean? Imputation. Love it because it's a finance word. Imputed interest. Our brother brought it up at the breaking of bread today. Are we a friend of God? It's a question for today. Are you a friend of God? He tells us how to be a friend. God, Abraham took God at his word. God said something. Can you imagine? Look at the stars. Those, you can't count them, and you will not be able to count the children that come from your seed. He believed God, and it was imputed for him to righteousness. Reminds us of that verse in the New Testament, right? That wonderful transaction. Our sins were placed on him, the one who was altogether lovely. What did we receive? We received his righteousness imputed upon us. He's changed our garments, hasn't he? And we are called a friend of God. I hope you're a friend of God today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. That's why he's called the I Am. He's always in the present. He's in the moment. He's in the now. Yes, he's the Ancient of Days. Yes, he's the one that holds our future. But his focus right now is on the here and now and where we're at, whether saved or not saved. I hope you know Jesus Christ as a friend of God. Redemption, released from an offense. Released from an offense. We get pictures of that. Sometimes people get amnesty or immunity, or they're released of from prison for something that they may have done. And we see them humbled, being reunited with loved ones. That's just a very small picture of what we've got going here. Released from the offense of payment. I have to be clear here. It wasn't that God gave over something precious to Satan and saying, okay, here, you take this and I'm going to take that. That was never the exchange. Satan has gotten, the only reward he's gotten is eternal damnation in hell. But it is that payment. Sin had to be judged. A righteous God has to deal righteously with sin. That's why we needed that perfect lamb, the spotless lamb, who took our sins upon the cross. That was the payment. So that God could finally judge sin, and the full wrath of God the Father now could be placed on this ugliness that had been beset upon us. He's also pulled us from the marketplace, as it were. Taken from a place where we could be exploited, used, or abused, he plucked us as a brand from hell. Redemption. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's always in Jesus. Isn't it? It's always in Jesus. Have you seen my son? Have you seen what he's done for you? Do you see how I see you? I see you through my son. To get by justification, forgiveness, to take away or to abandon. These are the things that happen instantaneously at our conversion when we've stepped into that space of salvation. Forgiveness is agreeing to pay the damages done by another and then never bringing it up again. Satan will bring it up. Satan will use that. He wants to use that. He's the accuser of the brethren. We don't listen to him. Kathy mentioned something to me the other day. Satan wants to bring up our past. He wants to bring up our past. You know what we can do to Satan? We can bring up his future. He holds nothing against us. The word of God is that sword, that saber against the wiles of the devil. In whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. So spend a little bit of time on justification. I had trouble with this for 2 days now. Can someone say that word for me? That word. Declare right so as to have the force of law. So there is some legalism when it comes to our salvation, but it's good legalism. He needs to declare us righteous based on his level of what's acceptable. How are we set? How is this thing called justice? How is it done? Well, salvation is being justified freely by his grace. It's only by the undeserving love, that channel by which he can now press upon us mercy and peace. And we are justified by his grace. It's only because he's the only one that can accomplish it. We're justified by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is that is the conduit. I believe you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Not for the world. I mean, that's all important. But what have you done for me? You've taken my sins as far as the east is from the west. That sweet savor of faith that the Father sees that we have in the Son. We're justified by faith. We're justified by his blood. There's no remission of sin. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Goats, bulls, birds, no. For a season, that was back then. That was the religion of the Jew. And not to say that it was wrong, but that was the religion of the Jew, as Paul would call it. No, we're justified by the very blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. First Peter has a few things to say about that. We're justified in the name of the Lord. His name encompasses his attributes. I mentioned that earlier. It encompasses all of his accomplishments. His name is above all names. And now we see the interjection of the Spirit of God. He's our earnest. Instantaneously, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe what you've done. Take me and receive. Make me clean. Refresh me. Make me anew. The Spirit of God is baptized into us. And the rejoicing of heaven. You can see why. I mean, look what's going on here in the spiritual realms. The very God is being baptized into you and I. He's chose to tabernacle within us. We've talked about this before in early on in Acts, right? Where finally God could indwell people. The people that he's so loyal to and so loves and so great a salvation. We can never neglect this salvation as we see in Hebrews. We should never neglect so great a salvation. Salvation is revealed in us. By works a man is justified. Some people would find some problems with that. But yeah, we're justified by our works. And a very... shadow of that. I guess the way I can put that into perspective, we all know what a submarine is. Do we know what a submarine is? And how does a submarine see? Sonar, right? Sonic waves. There's no headlights, no rear view mirrors. It's all done by sound. And when a submarine wants to know what objects are around it, it uses sonar, emits a ping is what it's called. And of course, sound travels miraculously through water. And then when an object is hit by that sound, it reflects that sound back to the submarine. And then by the tone or the tenor or the size of that reflected sound, it now knows what the signature of that thing is. Okay, well, let's take that into the spiritual realm. Isn't it wonderful when God has saved us and he's now looking for the outworking of the salvation that we have, and he sees our works that are done to the glory of God? It's that sweet savor of the reflection of Christ that he sees in us. It is the revealed justification in us. Oh, the aroma of the works. Well done, thy good servant. Assurance. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Buried with our transgressions. Raised to live forevermore as our advocate, as our intercessor. Our salvation is justified and validated, and we become confident in the fact that we are children of God because Jesus Christ lives. We can't think this up. Get to the final thing, blessings. Experienced at conversion, reconciliation. God doesn't need to be reconciled to us, but his word says in 2 Corinthians, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation completely in his favor. Peace. Peace with God. How many times do we see the Apostle Paul saying, grace, mercy, peace to us? There's a sequence there, a very logical and methodical and right exchange there. It's that tranquil state of the soul assures us of salvation through Christ. Nothing to fear with God. Again, how is he going to receive us in heaven? He's going to rejoice. The very vaults of heaven are rejoicing. It's that constant validation that the plan before the foundation of the world, us stepping into salvation, us enjoying the benefits and the privileges and the rights that come with it. And now we have a peace with God that passes understanding. Not as the outward absence of turmoil. In your life, we'll have trouble. We see that, I think, in Philippians, maybe. I'll have to look that one up. In your life, you will have trouble. There will be turmoil. There'll be angst. There'll be problems. There'll be falling short. There'll be all of the things that come. But we have this inward presence of God, a peace that passes understanding through the blood of his cross. Sanctification, set apart. Set apart for his good purposes. Wholly set apart for God. You know, ultimately we're going to be brought into perfect alignment with him. Sometimes, you know, there's got to be days when we just don't feel that. How do you get there? How do you get from point A to point B? I'm here. And God, you're here. No. He has set us apart for a good work. He's made us priests. He's made us to be the presenters of the gospel. He has made us a peculiar people to the world. Are you a peculiar person today? Sanctified, set apart for God's purposes. And then lastly, we have assurance. Wonderful verse, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our God did not come to who? To you. Could you see Paul saying this? We need to embrace this. These aren't just idle words, is what Paul's saying. For our gospel didn't come to you in word only. And now we can enter into that space of knowing and believing. Believing and now allowing God to work so that we can know. We didn't come to you just in words, but also in power. There is no way that that could have happened unless God had intervened. I hope you can make that statement in your life. There's no way, seeing where I was and where he has now taken me. That's the power of the living God that lives in us. And in the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And in much assurance. Are you assured today? Are you assured of your salvation? I hope you are. As Paul would say it here, allow God to give you that assurance. Step into his strength and step out of our so-called strength. Maybe lacking for several reasons. A person is not truly saved and the Spirit is convicting them. Beloved, I know we all have people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And don't you, we want them to feel uncomfortable. We want them to feel whatever they want to call it, guilty, lacking. We want a reaction because it's the Holy Spirit. He's massaging the heart. He's tickling the brain. He's moving things so that this one who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ is not comfortable in their own skin. We want the Spirit to be convicting. Is he convicting you today? Do you need this wonderful salvation that's found in Jesus Christ? A person is truly saved and living for Christ, but we're attacked by the devil. Darts, the full armor of God again, I have to bring up. So that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. He will attack. He is that crouching lion. We don't want to spend too much time, you know, focusing on him. But we know that he who lives in us is greater than he who is out in the world. Yes, we will be attacked at times. Person is truly saved, but walking after the flesh, therefore, has little evidence in their lives. Our brother mentioned it at the last family Bible hour. I went to church. Did all the right things, knew all the verses, knew how to answer questions. But from the standpoint of how he was walking in the world, mere images of what people were doing outside of the salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. Assurance doesn't come by looking at ourselves. I hate to make the delineation between men and women, but I think men might do that. We like to be in our own strength. We like to command and control. So I want to look at myself from the standpoint of, do I feel safe and do I feel secure? It's what Christ did on the cross that makes us safe. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, to you I commend my spirit. It is finished. It's finished. We're safe. It's been accomplished. It's what God says in his word that makes us sure. We have a firm foundation, which is on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to walk away with. We can no more assure ourselves than we can save ourselves. Assurance will never be self-generated. We cannot go to some pep rally and just rah ourselves and say how wonderful we are and how good we are in the Christianity that we're holding on to. As we read and obey his word, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. Salvation, what does it mean to you? What has been accomplished on your behalf? Have you stepped in to that wonderful, eternal, and absolutely potent plan of God to bring us to Himself? All of Scripture points to it. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. What does it mean to you? It's everything that God has for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the salvation that's only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this eternal plan that was laid out in the foreknowledge of the God who knows everything, knows our weaknesses, knows our strength, who has overcome our stupidity, which has accomplished things in spite of ourselves, who now allows us to step into this arena of salvation, and then to have the imputed attributes and resources and wonders of the living God and all of the things that come with adoption as children. And then, Father, we also thank you for peace, for assurance, for knowing that we truly are the children of God. Father, I would pray that if there's anybody that hears this message, anybody that's online in Zoom, anybody that's in the room who doesn't know the wondrous, loving salvation that's found only in Jesus Christ, Father, I would ask that today is the day of salvation. Today is the time when they are made anew, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We just give you all the glory in all of this. And we thank you for the things that you bring into our lives that point us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the confidence that we have in him. We give you all the glory and honor in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.